Hi, this is Pastor Marquez Ball of the Uplift Church in Laurel, Maryland. Listen, it is my prayer that this word is a blessing in your life. I pray that it's uplifting to your mind, uplifting to your heart, and uplifting to your spirit. Check us out online at upliftmd.com. God bless.
For our amazing Uplift staff who do a tremendous job week in and week out. I cannot thank them enough. I'm excited about our praise team as well as they are growing. This is the third week now, I believe, that we've had more up here on our praise team because Uplift Church is a new church. And we are literally building from the ground up. And many of you take part in that. All of you take part in that. And I'm so thankful for that as well. John chapter number 15. While you're there, I want to share this. Over the past few weeks, we have looked at four of the seven I am statements by Jesus in the Gospel of John. We've looked at four of them, and this is our fourth one here. Here's a little bit of a recap. We started off looking at Jesus' statement where he says, I am the resurrection. I am the resurrection. He showed up at Lazarus' tomb, and he simply said, Lazarus, come forth. And we talked about the fact that we've got to get up from this. Then Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. Jesus, help us to understand that the enemy will try to sneak into your life. And we talked about how to spot a fake. There are some people who will sit next to you, who will clap with you but never clap for you, who will smile at you but never smile with you. Jesus helps us to spot a fake, helping us to understand that he is the good shepherd to watch over and to protect us. And then we looked at Jesus' statement where he says, I am the light of the world. We talked about what's done in the dark, and many of us had to admit that we've done some really dumb things in our dark past, but thanks be to God that Jesus is a light for us. On next Sunday, we will celebrate Mother's Day. Then following that, we'll begin a new series called Multiply. We'll look at the fact that when God is in the equation, we can end up with a lot more than we have expected. So today, we're looking at one of maybe the most important statements Jesus made in these I am statements found in the Gospel of John chapter number 15. Here's what it says. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Your text may say the gardener. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it so that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I spoke to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away as a branch and dries up, and they gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done to you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit, and so prove it to be my disciples. This is the word of God for the people of God, and the word of God is already blessed. Jesus said, I am the true vine. As you prepare to take your seat, will you help me introduce this morning? Say, sermon, look at your neighbor, look at your neighbor. Say, neighbor. Help me introduce this morning's sermon. Look at your neighbor. Neighbor.
Neighbor.
This morning's sermon is the power of connection. Look at another neighbor. Look at another neighbor. Help them really get an understanding of this. Look at them. Smile at them. Make eye contact. Neighbor. This morning's sermon is the power of connection. Amen. 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 There is a power in connection. Will you pray with me? Father, it's once again that I stand to proclaim your word. I pray, dear Lord, that I decrease and that you increase mightily. That these, your people, would see and hear less of me and more of thee. take the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart and make them to be acceptable in thy sight. O Lord our God, our strength and our redeemer. Father, I have studied, but I need your strength. I've prepared, but I need your power. I'm willing and I want to, but I need you to make me able. Soundly now I wait for thee. Ready, my Lord, thy will to see. Open mine eyes and lift me. Spirit divine. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. The power of connection. Brothers and sisters, we're going to do something a little different that we've not done before. I've asked Kevin to help us out. What Kevin's going to do is this. Kevin is going to walk around. He's going to hold some grapes. They've been cleaned. We want to make sure they're sanitary, so they've been cleaned. So he's going to hold the grapes by the branch. He's going to go around and give everyone an opportunity to take a grape from the branch, all right? Listen, it's not your lunch, it's not your brunch, it's just a grape. All right, now those grapes do have seeds in them. That's the ones they sold in the store that we had to get this morning. So if you don't like seeds, don't eat that grape. You can at least still hold the grape. He's going to pass out those grapes. Notice, though, as he's passing them out, he's holding the branch. You and I are able to pull off a grape from the branch. And I love those grapes because those are the big old grapes. These, you know, it's the ones that look like little apples when you bite into them, you know, they have a crisp pop. It's those kind of grapes. You know, sometimes you go and some of y'all still healthy, and you know, you go to Whole Foods and you get them little bitty organic grapes because you're trying to do better than the rest of us. That's cool. These are the big old grapes. I'm from the country, you call them big old grapes. And so that's what we're passing out now. But again, notice that as he's passing them out, everyone is able to pull the grape from the branch. And the reason that we have the big old grapes is because they are attached to the branch. There is power in connection. And brothers and sisters, I want to share with us, I want us to remember this, who you are connected to has an impact on how far you can go and how much you will grow. Who you are connected to has an impact on how far you can go and how much you will grow. Those grapes got to the size that they are because they are connected to the branch. Notice, as everyone pulls a grape, you're able to pull a grape that is connected to the branch. The reason that the grape is as juicy as it is because it stayed connected to the branch. Notice, as you are pulling the grape, you're able to pull the grape that is connected to the branch. And the reason the grape is as full as it is, as juicy as it is because that grape was connected to the branch. Y'all getting my point here? Whenever you're connected to the right branch, you're able to be filled up. The grapes that you just pulled off were connected to the branch. By now, most of you should have in your hands a nice, juicy grape. Consider with me, if you will, a few questions. Where did this grape come from? Did the quality of this grape come about as an accident? Did it just kind of happen? If the branch with which this grape was connected, let me get my own connected grape as well. This grape, now I got to eat this grape in front of y'all since I have it. If the branch which this grape was connected had not produced this grape, what would it be useful for? Have you ever gone to the store to buy a bag of just branches? No, you go for the grape. How do I know if this is actually a good grape or a bad grape? It would be the taste of the grape. It would be the juiciness of the grape. Okay, y'all been waiting. At this time, you can go ahead and enjoy your grape. Brothers and sisters, there is power in connection. Who you are connected to has an impact on how far you can go and how much you will grow. Let me say the same thing a different way. Some of us got the job we have, not because your resume was really all that. No, it was because your friend knew somebody that was the administrative assistant and they were willing to put your resume on the boss's desk. You knew somebody who knew somebody. Some of us got into college not because your grades were all of that, but grandmama called somebody and dropped your name and all of a sudden you were able to get in. Some brother, you met your wife not because your game was all that. Stop lying to yourself. The reality is you knew her friend and her friend introduced you. Some of us got what we have because of who we are connected to. Is there anybody here this morning that knows that some of the blessings in your life came not because of you, but because of who you knew? Is there anybody here willing to testify that some doors open in your life, not because of you, but because of who you were connected to? Who you are connected to has an impact on how far you can go and how much you will grow. In the text, we learn something about the power of connection. Jesus is in the 13th chapter, in the 14th chapters of this book. Jesus is in the upper room where he institutes the Lord's Supper, which we'll share in later. He institutes communion. That's chapter 13 and 14. Jesus is hanging with his boys, chapter 13 and 14. They are having communion, and Jesus is pouring into them. As they celebrated the Passover in the upper room, Jesus washed his disciples' feet. He spoke to them about the things that were going to happen. And after a great deal of discussion with his disciple, Jesus ends chapter 14 by saying, come on, y'all, let's leave. For those of us who grew up in the Baptist church around communion, this is what he said. They left and they sung a hymn and went up into the Mount of Olives. That's in Matthew's gospel. That's how Matthew talks about it. So he ends their meal and he says, come on, y'all, let's leave. That's chapter number 14. Here we are in chapter 15, and we're able to eavesdrop on Jesus's farewell speech. Jesus is between the Last Supper and his friend turning his back on him and causing him to get arrested. His friend Judas sold him out. Here we see that who we are connected to has an impact on how far you can go and how much you will grow. First of all, we see in the text, brothers and sisters, something called the divine hookup. The divine hookup. The divine hookup. Okay, some of y'all heard the word hookup and you don't remember some of the hookup situations in your life. Let me bring it back to your remembrance. You know what a hookup is when you can't afford to pay $100 to watch the Pacquiao Mayweather fight, but your homeboy's playing for the fight, and so you show up at their house because you just got hooked up, and so you're watching the fight like it's your TV and your living room. It's the hookup. If you couldn't afford the flight on Southwest or Delta, but your friend gave you a buddy pass and you're flying like you done paid the money for the flight, it's called a hookup. If you go to get your hair did and all you have is $20, but your beautician gives you a $40 look, it's called a hookup. Some of us understand a little bit about the hookup. In the text, they're walking from the upper room in Jerusalem down into the Kidron Valley across to the Mount of Olives. And while they are walking, he may have passed in front of the temple. And on front of the temple, there was the golden vine, which was the national emblem of Israel. Jesus sees a vine, and he says, fellas, let me tell you something. I am the vine. Here it is. The major essential part of horticulture or gardening. I had to, use a big word, horticulture. The major word for gardening or farming. I'm from the country. We didn't say that. It was just farming. So the major essential thing in farming, though, is this. Is to plant the right kind of vine, the right kind of tree, in order to produce quality fruit. No fruit can be better than the vine that produced it. Reality is, if you want something good, you got to start with good stock. Let me try it another way. Again, I'm from New Orleans, and so I make gumbo. I'm not making it for everybody, but I cook gumbo. One thing I began to understand when cooking gumbo, my first experience with cooking gumbo, let me help you understand. This is how you create a roux. You take some butter and some flour, and you stir it. And you stir it. and you stir it, and you stir it. Sabrina's not in here, she's with the kids. She wanted me to cook gumbo once, and I told her she was gonna have to make the roux because I know your arm can fall off while making roux because all you're doing is you're stirring it, and you're stirring it, and you. My first time trying to make a roux, which was the stock for the gumbo, I began with the flour and the butter like I was supposed to. I took a plastic spoon, and I stirred it, and I stirred it, but my spoon kept getting shorter. Because the pot for roux gets really hot. I'm stirring and not realizing my spoon is becoming part of the roux. I realize now I can cook it, I have to thank God for it, but it wouldn't be good to eat because the stock was really kind of bad. Brothers and sisters in farming, the same thing is true. If you want good fruit, you got to start with a good vine. The vine produces the quality of the fruit. Jesus is teaching them the importance of the power of a divine hookup. In other words, you are a direct reflection of what you are feeding on. Check this out. In Hampton Court near London, there is a grapevine that is said to be about 1,000 years old. This grapevine is about 1,000 years old. The grapevine has one root that's at least 2 feet thick. Some of the branches are as long as 200 feet. And despite its age, the vine produces several tons of grapes every year. Although some of the smaller branches are 200 feet from the main root, they still produce tremendously sweet grapes. Life flows from that single root through all the branches, even down 200 feet. It has been doing so for about 1,000 years. And in other words, it doesn't even matter how far away from the root you are. As long as you are connected to the right thing, you're able to benefit from it. The problem that many of us have in life, brothers and sisters, is that we've spent way too much time hooking up with the wrong thing. We try to find love in other people, but we're hooking up with the wrong thing. We try to find joy in cars and houses, but we've hooked up with the wrong thing. We try to find happiness in money, only to find out we've hooked up with the wrong thing. We try to find faithfulness in friends, and we find out that we've hooked up with the wrong thing. Jesus says, I am the vine. And if you want to produce something worthwhile in your life, then you've got to hook up with me. If you won't love Jesus, said I love you enough to die for you. If you won't joy, Jesus teaching, I'll give you joy down in your heart. If you want happiness, I'll give you happiness that the world can't take away. If you want faithfulness, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. But in order for us to get these, we've got to hook up with the right thing. Is there anybody here that knows something about hooking up with Jesus? It's the best decision you've ever made in your life. I wish I had two people that would be a testimony that hooking up with Jesus saved my life. Hooking up with Jesus gave me joy. Hooking up with Jesus gave me peace. Tap your neighbor and say, it's the divine hookup. It's the divine hookup. Jesus says, I am the vine. If you remain in me, you will bear much fruit. Not only do we have a divine hookup, but then there is a divine come up. Not only is there a divine hookup, but then there is a divine come up. Now, many of us love this part because we just hear come up, and in your mind, you see how you're going to come up. Here it is. He says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be more fruitful. While the cutting off part may be understood as a part of the pruning process, notice he talks about cutting off and pruning. Here it is. The Greek word translated cut off simply means to lift up. Let me do a little teaching here to help us understand that. To conserve moisture in a dry area, vines were allowed to run on the ground until they began to blossom. So, vines, they start off on the ground to conserve moisture until they begin to blossom. And when they begin to blossom a little bit, the gardener sees that this one has some potential, and the gardener helps it out by then lifting it off the ground, and they put it on a stick or on a rock so that it can produce more. The gardener allows it to go on the ground until it sees potential in it, and then it lifts it up so that it can produce more. Sometimes God will allow us to stay low, not because he doesn't love us, not because he doesn't have more for us, but when he begins to see the potential that he's placed in us budding, God will show up in your life and he will lift you so that you can produce more. It's a biblical principle. Let me show it to you. Abraham is in the land of Ur, and God says, Abraham, I see something in you. You're going to be the father of many nations. It's a biblical principle. Abraham, here is your divine come up. Moses was born and he should have been taken out even as a child, but God says, I see potential in you and you'll be raised in a palace. Joseph goes from the pit to the palace because all throughout his life, God had divine come up for him because there was potential in him. Jesus had a divine come up because the devil tried to take him out, and God said, that's my son, and he still got to come up. Let me come a little bit closer. Many of us stayed up last night watching two people, Manny Pacquiao and Mayweather, and the reality is they can all tell you that they started from the bottom. Now they are here. They all grew up in abject poverty, but now we spend hundreds of dollars to watch them because of a divine come up. You may start at the bottom, but when God sees your potential, he has a willingness to lift you, and no man can put you down. He has a willingness to pull you up, and no man can stop it when God has a divine come up plan for your life. Not only does he lift, but he also removes dead things. The gardener also removes unproductive branches because they take away from the productive one. The gardener removes unproductive branches because they take away from the productive one. Let me see if I can help us understand that. There are some branches that they'll grow. These branches look strong. These branches have leaves. I mean, beautiful, strong leaves, but no fruit. The branches, they'll grow and they're strong. They have leaves, beautiful, strong leaves, but no fruit. Okay, y'all don't get that. Here it is. You showed up at the party and brother looked good. Oh, he had on a nice outfit. His watch looked like it was expensive. He looked like he had a lot going on, only to find out he still lives with his mama and he's 42 years old. Here it is. You thought sister girl had it all together. She was fine, and you wanted to leave everybody else behind. You was hanging up your player coat just for her, only to find out that she can't cook, she don't clean, she don't work, and she wants you to be her come up. Sometimes people can have all the look, but there is no substance there. And the reality is that some of us can admit that I thought I needed him. I thought I needed her. But now I can see that God can cut some things away from me. God will sometimes cut away people and things that are not productive in your life. Some people are only taking from you and never helping you grow. Some things are convenient distractions that take away from your growth. I thought I needed it. I thought I needed the car. I thought I needed that job. I thought I needed that drink. I thought I needed that smoke. I thought I needed it. But now I see that my life is so much better without it. God, I couldn't picture life without him. I couldn't picture life without it at all. But on the other side, I'm able to walk past him and it, her and it, and say, oh, God had a come up for me. He cut me off from some things that were distracting me from what he had for me. Because what we are connected to has an impact on how far you can go and how much you will grow. Not only does he remove distractions, he also prunes. Fruit for the vine came from the new growth. So the gardener had to cut away old growth so that new fruit could grow. The gardener wants the vine to produce, but in order for the vine to produce, the gardener understood that it had to cut away some old things in order for it to grow. There are times, brothers and sisters, when we don't like the process, that God will begin to cut away some old habits in our lives, and it may not be comfortable, but God is saying, I want more growth in you. There are some times that although life looks like it's going well, there are times when God will cut some things off, not because he does not love you, but because he's trying to pull out more that he has in you. The good gardener understands that the pruning process is not to hurt, but it's only to help it grow. Again, I don't know much about horticulture, but I grew up in the country. We just did farming, and I understood something that even when you buy roses, fellas, buy your wives, your ladies, some roses. When you buy roses, you know you get the little package in the rose thing, and it tells you how to keep the rose growing. It tells you to cut off a little bit from the bottom. It tells you to prune it, but in the pruning process, it tells you this. Don't cut off too much. Because if you cut off too much, it'll kill it. Only cut off enough to help it still grow and produce more. God does that in our lives. God knows just how much we can bear. He'll cut some things away from us, and it may be uncomfortable, but it won't kill us. He'll remove some old things in our lives, and it may be uncomfortable, but it won't kill us. It will actually stretch us and help us to grow a little more. How did the songwriter put it? No pain, no gain, no pain, no gain. Some of us have that mindset now. There comes some pain, but in the end, there is gain. God understands how to help us come up. But then, brothers and sisters, I'm out of your way. Not only is there a divine hookup, not only is there a divine come up, finally, there is a divine product. Galatians chapter number 5, verse 22 shows us what the divine product is. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is a